What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. Backstage report. I want to thank the Robs, Rob Wilkins, Robert DeFelice, for filling in last week. I was hopeful that I'd be able to do it, but then I thought, you know what? Let's see how you guys like it with them. I like to be here on this show in order to give you guys even more insight on the stories that we've broken here at Fightful. But the reaction and reception to the job that they did was great, so I want to thank them so much. It was great having Robert DeFelice back on the air as well. He's been doing a lot more focusing on the writing end of things, but we'll always welcome him back to do podcasts and the like, of course. But I was in London last week. Lots of stuff to talk about. Lots of stuff to get into. Let's kick it off. Charlotte Flair, she was not going to be placed in Money in the Bank. There were some rumors that were emerging about that this past weekend and had some people, you know, kind of worried. But the creative was set for Charlotte's return before her return. Bianca and Asuka is the move. Asuka as the champ, Bianca Belair, the person who had held the title for a year, and Charlotte, the most accolade-driven champion of all time in WWE on the women's side of things, all in one feud. This is going to help reestablish Asuka to some degree and put her on the main event level, even with the championship. So yeah, not the case with Charlotte Flair being added to Money in the Bank. Another rumor killer that we posted from November of last year was when reports emerged that LA Knight was going to win Money in the Bank and that he was the favorite, etc., etc. We had reported back then that that wasn't the case, that he wasn't slated to win it, he wasn't being discussed about to win it. At no point have we heard him being the favorite internally with creative or anything to win it. And LA Knight confirmed that because I spoke to him last week and he said that all that was conjecture, nice to see, all that stuff. But then when you start to win or get booked in matches that are qualifying matches, then you win those matches, then it starts to come together and you think it might be real. But he was very, very specific in saying anything last year was just conjecture. He said the dummy aspect of his catchphrase, if it makes sense or fits, he'll bring it back. But he wouldn't change it for the UK. I think he should maybe add a little bit to it. But hey, you know what? I think he knows what he's talking about here. He also talked about how he thought he was on the back end of his career in the pandemic, and then an opportunity to come to WWE came about. He didn't think that he would ever be back there. He didn't think that it would be a realistic situation where he would be back in WWE. And at one point over 10 years ago, WWE wasn't even returning his calls. Well, Drew McIntyre never stopped answering WWE's calls. That's what Triple H said while he was at the Money in the Bank press conference. He said some things. Triple H said some things that weren't quite true in that situation. Known truth teller Triple H, he dismissed reports of creative issues between McIntyre and WWE. Now, we never reported creative issues, but we said that creative was going to be a motivating factor for Drew McIntyre. He doesn't want to just turn on a whim. He wants the creative to make sense. We had reported that he was sidelined with an injury. He was taking some time off. He actually worked that highly acclaimed WrestleMania match with injuries, but he's not signed a new contract. Negotiations have not started between these two sides, but Drew did have to get a couple things fixed. And Triple H said that they kept in contact throughout this situation and would kind of laugh at some of the reports and all that, but the return was kept very quiet. And both sides got like suspiciously quiet. In the story that we ran on Saturday, we said that Orton wasn't coming back, and that if Drew was coming back, they were keeping it very quiet, and that things were eerily silent about that. That's sometimes when you can tell as a person in media. Now, at the same time, you can't run anything off of that. That's an assumption, and a part of this job is asking very important people very stupid questions. That tipped it off a little bit, but I was still very surprised to see it where it happened. I thought it would happen with the Seth angle, but I'm glad to see him back. Along the way, Drew was not told where or when he'd be drafted. He was off social media, but creative is important to him. I'm not saying that there are creative issues, but creative is definitely important to him. John Cena was back at Money in the Bank, made that shocking return. Triple H did not seem prepared to follow up on the WrestleMania in London talk, and we learned a little bit more as to why. Mania is set for Philly in 2024, and they're in the late stages of finalizing 2025, which we've heard to be a city in the United States. The earliest the Mania could even feasibly hit London is 2026, unless something drastic happens, and WWE sources told us they don't find that likely on the horizon. However, there was a survey taker around Media Day and that hotel that were asking fans that were on site what would be a convenient location for them for a hypothetical Royal Rumble or SummerSlam. Among those cities were London, Birmingham, Manchester, and Glasgow. WrestleMania was not mentioned on that survey whatsoever. Now, higher-ups tell Fightful that Cena was only set for that show, did not have any upcoming programs planned. That can always change if his schedule frees up, but he's been spending a lot of time over in the UK of late. Judgment Day, this story aged very well. I love these positive stories that we're able to get. We ran one last Monday, and it aged really well. Judgment Day, very, very over with WWE higher-ups. If you couldn't assume it yourself, again, we're not allowed to assume it. WWE higher-ups spoke about the company's affection for the stable. Fightful was even told that Edge himself recognized that Judgment Day was better suited for this iteration than the original plans had outlined. The higher-ups spoke very fondly of each member, saying that Balor has been very easy for WWE to work with throughout the process and has molded to a variety of different roles that the company needed him for over the last year in Judgment Day. So when they've needed him to do comedic stuff, he has. When they've needed him to work in a team, he has. When they needed him to be a mentor, he has. And even in the main event level scene, he's done that. Rhea Ripley was put over heavily for working through her knee issue she's spoken about in the past, but her willingness to improve and help everyone else get over by contributing as a manager was also highlighted, especially Dom. That's a big part of her heat. Another longtime WWE staffer said it would have been easy for her to just be concerned about her creative surrounding the title. We've heard that there's also situations where she was supposed to dominate people originally, creative change, and she was happy to give her opponent even more offense. Damian Priest's work ethic was praised, especially his work with Bad Bunny. There was a tag team match set for that show, and WWE sources told us that everyone felt really comfortable enough with Bad Bunny in the ring after their Backlash match. And a lot of that's because of the chemistry and training that Priest helped provide as well. Dominic Mysterio received some praise for his advanced schedule, which has seen him do a lot of media obligations with the success of his new character, and WWE putting him in a variety of situations, a variety of opponents in the ring to get him used to a variety of different opponents. Now, sometimes they can change that. Like last week, they just had him work Ricochet an awful lot. What they had been doing was putting him on dark matches and live events against a variety of different opponents. That way, he would be able to get a lot of different looks. Since this was published, Damian Priest won Money in the Bank, is in the top title picture. They have killed it. They have done just an incredible job with Judgment Day. They have taken them from something that was kind of groan-worthy, and they have made them something very, very special. And they have four really, really great talent involved in that. Edge did not need to be a part of this anymore. I mean, at one point, Ciampa was even pitched for it, before he debuted. A lot of things that could have happened, and I think it worked out for the best. Vince McMahon, he was not in London. He's been making plenty of changes remotely via phone as well as in person at the June 5th Raw. But there's some things we'd heard that he was particular about, but that didn't last for long. There were several that we spoke to that said that Vince McMahon generally liked to make good on advertised matches if possible, even if they weren't his idea. Sometimes there were some exceptions, but by and large, if it's advertised, they try to see it through. Now, that changed a few weeks ago. There were a whole lot of things changed, Shotzi and Bayley specifically, that ended up getting moved. But one source told Fightful that advertising matches on SmackDown 1, 2, and 3 weeks ahead on the same show could have been an effort to Vince-proof some plans on SmackDown. But some of the things that he would change are match orders, match times, additional segments. On June 19th, a world title match, a pivotal storyline moment, were scheduled for the first half hour of that show, and Vince McMahon changed it. SmackDown had not previously experienced those heavy changes to that level, but ultimately we're told that many of the promoted matches that were scheduled ended up happening. We're not told if there was any specific reason for that beyond Vince does like to, or has liked to, of late, deliver on those, but hasn't hesitated to just nix that as well. Rick Steiner's behavior did not cause any heat on Braun Breaker. In April, Rick Steiner was banned from WrestleCon after making transphobic comments towards Impact wrestler Giselle Shaw. The behavior was corroborated by several people who witnessed it, and I saw people saying, well, how can we know? How can we know? Innocent until proven guilty. He has told multiple contacts that we have interacted with that it did happen. I don't know if he's shown any remorse or anything like that, but I do want to say I have never heard any heat on Bron Breakker, and he spoke to USA Today and said that his father, his comments do not reflect him. When I asked WWE about that, they're like, no, not at all. They're like, he's his own guy. We're not going to hold him to that. That's not fair to him. And I completely agree. Rick Steiner, however, is not going to be making any cameos on WWE TV anytime soon. And they made that very clear to me. And I'm sure that Bron Breakker knows that as well. But good on Bron for sort of dispelling that and not associating with that as well. But no heat on him. We made that story free because I didn't want to charge for something like that. But I'm glad to see that Bron did speak out on the situation. Kind of wish he would have sooner, but also he is sort of at the mercy of WWE's PR in that situation. Omega and Ospreay, man, they emerged out of their match at Forbidden Door, an instant classic. They emerged relatively unscathed. That's pretty great news. Kenny Omega told several people he was fine after the match ended. They returned backstage to applause, a standing ovation from the match, which received a lot of praise from their peers. That and the Wrestle Kingdom match were meticulously planned. They knew the spot. I saw some people saying, can't believe Ospreay would just call that on the fly. He didn't. That was planned. Ospreay had told me recently that he felt like Omega got 80% of the offense in the first match and wanted to change that. There was discussion of using the Canadian flag before the match, but those specifics were not approved before then and likely would not have been. More AEW news coming out of Forbidden Door. Unfortunately, Bryan Danielson is hurt, but we can confirm Wrestling Observer's report that he is being lauded for what he provides creatively. But Championship Friday was not a Bryan Danielson idea, as some had recently attributed that to Danielson. Instead, Danielson had been working on the first few weeks of Collision creative of late, and they said that Danielson was very valuable in speaking with talent, how they want their creative handled, and how they communicate things between creative and the talent. Unfortunately, Danielson's injury happened. It caused several creative adjustments. There were plans for Danielson to wrestle more on TV following Forbidden Door. He was supposed to be involved in Blood and Guts, which is going to happen in Boston. He was going to wrestle on this most recent Dynamite. Didn't end up happening. Harley Cameron, though, she's been featured on TV a lot more. She is under a full-time AEW deal. She doesn't wrestle a lot, but she has been an on-screen character. But she's multi-talented, does singing stuff. She did an appearance inside the MGM over Double or Nothing weekend. A bunch of her coworkers supported her. We're going to have some more news on contract-related stuff coming up soon. But we spoke to Fuego del Sol, his first interview after leaving AEW. And I just want to say this. It meant a lot, the kind words that he said about Fightful and our team and our credibility and all that. So big thank you to Fuego for that. But I filmed this interview the day that I left for London because I was like, man, how can I not do this? I know that he's going to get a bunch of interview requests very, very soon. He got injured. He landed awkwardly. They put a screw in his foot. He had to do a lot of rehabbing before they'd take it out. But he never ended up returning to the AEW ring. His deal ran out. They let him know about it. He said that Tony Schiavone even said to him, I hope you prove us wrong. And he said that he's going to. He talked about Sammy Guevara, who was checking on him constantly, said that Sammy gets all the credit to bring him into AEW, said if Sammy didn't throw his name out there, he wouldn't be there. They've been friends since 2016, but he gave his number to, or Sammy gave his number to QT Marshall, and that's the one who's booking extras at the time, so he got that shot. And Fuego was very, very grounded, down to earth, and realistic about it. He's like, you know what? If they don't necessarily want that, I really think you guys should listen to this full interview. He talked about a lot of the angles that happened there and the people that have checked on him. He talked about helping Emi Sakura relearn the moonsault. It was a lot of fun. Also, interviews with Brandon Williams, Frank the Clown, Shane Hawk, Jack Vaughn on In the Weeds with Fightful. You guys are going to want to check that out as well. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning on Fightful Overbooked, we get a whole bunch of scoops for our select portions in those interviews. Lots of news and notes. Triple H said someone rolled their ankle on the way back from the ring at Money in the Bank. We weren't told who. We're told it doesn't look serious. Natalya was backstage at Money in the Bank getting certificates from Guinness World Records. The call to run back Shotzi and Bayley that got canceled by Vince was made quite a while back, and Shotzi was brought to the UK. The pop in the arena for the Edge video airing, that was funny. We saw the same video that people saw on Peacock, but Edge wasn't there. People were like, really? Another surprise? He wasn't planned for the show at any point. They're tentatively planning a press conference after Detroit SummerSlam, but we're told we'll get more details. WWE sources told us that most everything on Money in the Bank went as planned, except for the Logan Paul Ricochet spot, and even they recovered well. WWE officials were very happy Saturday morning regarding the good viewership for SmackDown on Friday. Those numbers are hitting at the right time, my friends. SmackDown numbers are just doing fantastic right now. Raw is creeping up to 1.97 last month. That's the most since Mania Week. And if you take Mania Week out of the equation, best since February. They don't do a lot of 1.9s anymore. I mean, they were stuck under 2 million pretty well since the pandemic. So this is good. It's returning to somewhat pre-pandemic numbers. Before the pandemic, they were regularly over 2 million for Raw. But over on the SmackDown side of things, damn, man, 2.51 million up from 2.35 million. I'm not a big numbers guy, but I love it when those damn numbers are good, my friends. And SmackDown stays above 2 million. Like, it doesn't really dip below. But 2.5 is a number they rarely hit anymore. Rarely. And it's great to see them doing good numbers, good business. WWE is on fire right now from a business perspective. In addition to the story we ran Monday, WWE sources spoke highly of Damian Priest competing at a main event level against Seth Rollins on that UK tour. We'd mentioned that Piper Niven was brought to the UK and not injured. She wrestled Raquel and Becky Lynch on live events last week. Omos was in town. He didn't wrestle or do anything. Chelsea Green was landlocked due to green card issues. Gargano, Ciampa, Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell were not overseas. The Miz was back in the States as well. The Raw crew had a bit of a tougher travel schedule. They got to town a little bit later than everybody else because they had their live event. But some of the SmackDown crew stuck around for Sunday in Cardiff as well. Nick Khan was at Money in the Bank. AEW found out Britt Baker wouldn't be able to compete very shortly before the show. It was a very, very abrupt decision. AEW sent some talent to Europe last week to do Fight Forever promotional appearances. Promoting that game is a big priority for the company, and there are going to be a lot more releases. So if you don't like the game now, they're going to be changing things. They're going to be making a lot of updates based on what I understand. This is supposed to be a constantly updated game. Originally, it was supposed to be a single release with a lot of expansion. I don't know how that will go now, though. Zoe Stark was slated for Money in the Bank Media Friday. She was pulled so she could be added to another WWE UK live event. Fightful interviewed Shayna Baszler, Bayley, Pretty Deadly, Santos Escobar, and LA Knight. There was Amber Nova backstage at a recent episode of SmackDown. We mentioned that on select portions last week. A lot of travel delays for New Japan talent out of Toronto last Monday as well, but everybody ended up getting where they needed to go. There are some that we've talked to in AEW that say that the top angles are tentatively planned through All Out. It has been scheduled as the United Center for months and was officially announced recently. During a recent interview, PCO said he was going to work for MLW Fightland last year, but couldn't because he was with Impact. We were told they were interested, they being MLW, if he was available and a free agent, but those in MLW say there were never any issues with Impact because things between the two never got that far, and they felt like that kind of put Impact in a weird position after he said that, but by the time that it rolled around, he was already signed. Also, a note on BJ Whitmer. So we reported the news of his arrest shortly after he was released and we became aware of the records. He had actually been fired by AEW already. I'm told that AEW had fired him not just upon learning this, but they had someone look into the situation, and it was very, very clear that it was a situation in which he needed to be fired. There was an arrest, charges were pressed, and they established contact with the victim. And the victim was looked after in a sense, but you hate to hear any of that, but they did the right thing and got rid of him. Guys, thank you all so much. The past week in the UK, whoo boy, I love Kentucky. I really do. But that was a very fun trip. And I got to meet probably 100 people that read Fightful, watch Fightful, subscribe to Fightful, any number of those things. Thank you so much. I don't ever lose sight of how fortunate I am to be able to do this and to go to a completely different continent that I've never been to and get to meet so many of you. Was very, very cool. I'll be back at the end of August. Very brief trip this time, but sincerely, guys, thank you all so much. Spread the word of Fightful Select, especially on the Facebooks, TikToks, and Instagrams of the world. That stuff really helps because we're increasing our presence there. Over 10 million video views from Money in the Bank across all of our platforms. So thank you to everybody who checked it out. Until next time, we're out.